Dubon, stop it. Come on, man. This is getting crazy. Drake Baldwin is ridiculous. They beat the Cubs again last night. I'm talking about the Braves 4-1 to improve to 30-13. First time since 2003 with that record. But they also are the first team to reach 30 wins. And last night was just exciting. Mike, what did you make of J.R. Richie, though? What did you think about the kid?
He's still learning how to do it. I mean, you know, he didn't really, you know, give up a lot of hits. I mean, unfortunately, it was, you know, two or three swings is kind of what did him in. But the pitch count, you know, he got up with the pitch count and that got him out of the box. So hopefully he will continue to, you know, move, and we'll talk to Grant McCauley about it. His progression, every start, he learns more, picks up more. He's very stoic. My wife's like, does he even shave yet? I go, no, I don't think so. But, you know, I love Fuentes. What Fuentes did the other night for three innings, that's solid. Both these guys, I mean, they're not competing, but they're both evolving. But I just thought, Richie, yeah, it's a tax on your bullpen when Grant Holmes can't get to the fifth inning, nor can, you know, Richie get through the fifth inning. So eventually that will wear you down a little bit.
Yeah, man. Look, you explode in the eighth. Yeah. Strzemski coming through again, man. I mean, again.
He can hit righties, man.
Big spot. Drives in the tie-breaking run, and then, you know, you get the home run by Dubon. And again, I mentioned he was 0 for 3. It just tells you the confidence these guys are going to the plate with and not worrying about, hey, I'm 0 for tonight. That's okay. You just keep chopping.
No, man. It's just like I said. And Kim got a base knock last night, so, you know, things are starting to shake. I'm as you said earlier, I'm starting to feel a little bit about, like, you know, don't get over my skis on it, but feeling a little bit like 21. What I mean by that, guys, what do you mean by that? Everybody was contributing. Remember, Ronald was knocked out of the box with an injury. We picked up, you know, then famously Rosario and Soler at the deadline, and Jace Peterson. All those guys came in. Or Jock Peterson, actually. All those guys came in and contributed. Guys we had no expectations for are already contributing. And looks like they're going to keep on contributing.
Yeah, I mean, it's the formula we talked about, Mike, that was told to me years ago. Stars be stars, and then your normal guys do something that's not normal. This isn't normal for Dubon. This isn't normal what we're seeing for other guys who've been inserted into this lineup. And you go, wait a minute, he's not supposed to be that good of a hitter. That's when you have these unusual years. And if they can keep it up, yeah, maybe we're on to something really special. Right now, though, let's talk some dogs. Mike Griffith is here, guys. Follow him, Dog Nation and AJC.com. He's on the Sweet James Accident Attorneys Hotline. All right, before we get into some of the meat and potatoes about Greg Sankey kind of holding firm, I do want to ask you about Georgia safety, the transfer, Jamarlee Riddle, who was arrested on a pair of felony charges for possession of a controlled substance. What do you know, Mike Griffith, about this, and how is Kirby going to handle this situation?
About it than you do, you know, from I don't know much more about it than you guys do, but obviously not good. You know, I mean, this isn't what you're looking to do through the free agency, and you know, unfortunate for UVA, certainly, you know, not a good look. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, listen, Kirby Smart, Georgia, they're pretty thorough with these things and kind of treat them case-by-case basis. But, I mean, this is a really bad look. And I don't know, do you know, transfer versus incoming freshman, it seemed like this would be a hard guy to keep on your roster. But I guess
Mike,
you got to kind of let
Mikey,
it all play.
Mikey, the phone's crapping out again. We just want to get you back on a better cell real quick. Hold on. We're going to dial Mike Griffith back from Dog Nation just real quick and get his take. We want you to be able to hear what the man is talking about. This isn't a Athens-Clark County situation. This was down in Glynn County. It happened Friday in Brunswick, where he got pulled over.
This kid, by the way, Jamarlee Riddle, is a transfer. First two seasons at East Carolina. So that's why Mike Griffith is talking about, you know, not what you want to do in the portal. You're going out to improve your team.
Right.
And if I think, you know, Kirby Smart thinks you're worthy enough to be a guy that he's going to go, because he doesn't go on the portal. He doesn't have to do that like other teams. He's not bringing in 30-plus guys. So, you know, Mike, you think you're bringing in a guy, and then this happens, and it just makes you question sometimes. Mike Griffith, you're back. Go ahead and complete what you were talking about there, man.
Yeah, I was saying it's obviously a tough look, and, you know, it's hard to imagine, you know, with the charges that they're looking at. I mean, you got to let things play out and get all the details, but, you know, as it stands, I just, you know, transfer coming in, you know, free agency being what it is, I think it's hard at the collegiate level, at least, to, you know, keep a guy like this around. I mean, this is a great opportunity this kid had, and, you know, man, you know, not just what was in the car, allegedly, but, you know, weaving in and out of traffic. I mean, it just looks reckless all the way around.
Yep. And so, guys, you know, we expect players that come up through Georgia to know the history, and the transfer students need a tutorial on what you're not supposed to be doing. Mike Griffith with us, guys, from Dog Nation here on the Sweet James Accident Attorneys Hotline. We had a really cool conversation with Vanderbilt's head coach, Clark Lee. And he basically echoing your sentiments, Mike, forget tradition. No place anymore for it. But just kind of, we got into a discussion, and basically the same argument you and I have had about why doesn't the College Football Playoff Committee have any consistency with strength of schedule? And if they're not going to recognize schedule, then you might as well expand to 24. And then people like Notre Dame and Vandy would have been in last year, and Georgia Tech for that matter.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you looked at the format as it is this year, Miami wouldn't have gotten in under the new format. Notre Dame would have gotten that spot with the Notre Dame provision. So you're saying, okay, well, maybe 12 is not enough. And, you know, you look at 16, and what's the difference between 16 and 24, and how do you carry that out, you know, especially if you're going to keep the SEC championship game, and how does that weekend go? I mean, it seems kind of silly to have the top two teams have to play an extra game that may be to their detriment. Yeah, they can hang a banner, but it hurts their national championship hopes to play that extra game. So let's keep an eye on that. Let's see if, you know, ESPN budges off this SEC championship game contract that they have, television contract they have, maybe turn it into a play-in weekend where if you finish in the top two in the SEC, that's an advantage to you, not a disadvantage in the national championship hunt.
I asked you this last week, and I'll ask again. Is Greg Sankey the guy that can come out on top here? Because if everybody else is against what he wants, how can he win?
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, I thought yesterday was really big when Jim Phillips of the ACC came out and Brett Yormark from the Big 12. You know, last year it was a 3-1 in favor of the 16-team playoff, and the Big 10 didn't budge, and so nothing happened. Now it's 3-1 in favor of the Big 10, the Big 12, and the ACC, and does the SEC budge? And I think the answer will be yes, because the coaches have been very loud about wanting to move on from 12 teams. You've heard Kirby say 16 or 24. He's not sure which one, but one of those two. Kirby wants it expanded. I think that speaks volumes. Here's a guy that champions the SEC title game, literally a traditionalist in his own right, but he understands how important it is to keep your fan base engaged. He understands the importance of, you know, getting your team in the playoff for stability and momentum. And he also understands that those games outside the playoff, those bowl games, they have no traction. As he said, they're kind of useless. Nobody really, you know, a lot of the kids don't play in them now. They opt out. The fan base has lost a lot of interest. And so because of that, I think that the 24-team playoff makes sense. Now, as far as what traditions you lose, I don't know. I mean, like we talked about, I mean, Georgia fought tooth and nail to keep the Georgia Tech game home and home. So, therefore, they're already playing 10 Power 4 opponents, and it's a tough ask to ask them to play one more home and home, Florida State. So what Josh Brooks, it looks like, is doing is saying, okay, I'll meet you halfway. We'll play it every other year. We'll play a neutral site, perhaps, but we're going to do it in a money-making capacity so that it pads Georgia's pocket. Now, that doesn't make the people that buy season tickets happy, but remember, a lot of the same people are the ones that wanted to give up that Florida game. You know, that's a rival they could have been playing in Sanford Stadium every other year, and everybody said, we want that tradition. So you kept Florida to neutral site out of your stadium. You've kept a home-and-home Georgia Tech out of tradition. You really can't be asking for much more now the way this model goes, because you want your team to have a chance to win national championships.
Mike, we appreciate you, as always, stopping by. We'll get you all next week. Hopefully we had a better line. Some of that was cut out, and we're just going to call it a night and say thank you again, man. But always great stuff. Follow him, guys, Dog Nation and AJC.com. Sometimes technology is not on our side, right, and that's just the reality of it.
Yeah, we always love getting Mike's takes because we always have really strong opinions with Mike. We go round and round, but you got to be able to hear the dude. So check your provider.
All right. With that said, and look, this is going to be an ongoing conversation. He just feels like I do. With all these other commissioners now flipping, it's going to be hard for Greg Sankey to stay here. He can, right, but it's a losing cause.
Right.
Because ultimately, everyone at the table that has a seat is going to say, I want this. Then they're all going to say, I agree. Right. And he's going to be the only one. But I hear you. And Mike, the excuses, I say that loosely, yesterday that he used about analytics and, you know, we got to see the evidence.
That sounds like just political word salad. You know what I mean? Just say, look, you know, the problem is you can't stand on the argument, which most of us listening to the show and what Carl and I generally feel about the SEC is it is the toughest conference, top to bottom, toughest schedule, toughest four or five games in a row. You don't get that in the Big Ten. You just don't.
No.
You don't get that in the Big 12. You certainly don't get that right now in the ACC, you know, although some teams are getting better. So just stand, but you can't stand on that when you haven't won the national championship the last 3 years. That's, you know, that's the problem. You and I were joking around about it yesterday.
Yep.
You know, you talked, when I go down to, like, down to Naples, Florida, and I'm surrounded by, you know, people from Big Ten country, and they're talking about, well, 3 years in a row there, don't you know? I mean, well, what can you say, right? It speaks for itself. He did bring up an interesting point, though, with Notre Dame doing typical Notre Dame stuff and always, you know, finding a way to weasel it in because of their power and their draw. By this year's new standards, Miami would not have made the cut. So your runner-up in the national championship game wouldn't even have been in the tournament because now Notre Dame will get dialed in for sure.
Yeah. Look, I don't know how soon this happens, but it's coming. And I just think, Mike, all this fodder about it is just preparing the college football world for the inevitable. It is, you know what it is? It's that test market thing. Let's just put it out there, and you're throwing it out there, and you keep throwing it out there, and then finally everybody goes, fine!
Right.
24, whatever, let's go!
No, I mean, but like, for me, you know, Georgia fans, you know how exciting it is to take on Clemson, or, you know, remember we were nervous about that Oregon game, and they mopped the floor with the Ducks? You know, like basically like poop through a goose, if we're honest, or a duck. You know, but for me, like this year, Florida State's going to play in Tuscaloosa. That's a game I want to be a part of.
Yeah.
You know, that's fun. That's, you know, going, taking your program, granted a horrible program now, but a historic program at FSU, and going down to Bryant Denny and hanging out down there in Tuscaloosa. That's, I hate to see those things going away.
Yeah. Texas went to Ohio State last year. They lost a close game. Ohio State goes there this year. Mm. Everybody's excited. It's like when Georgia went to Austin, or vice versa.
Right.
Texas got their butt
kicked
in Athens.
Remember the hype in Georgia? It was Formula One week as well. It was monstrous.
But those things, man, I'm with you. I love that. I love those atmospheres.
Right. And at least you get that in an SEC schedule.
You do. You don't get it outside of that. Right. Or it doesn't seem like you're going to moving forward. All right, man, we got plenty more to dive into, including more on the Braves. But the schedule drops tonight. And one big question remains for everybody. It's Dukes and Bell. AV, that's Evion Terrell, and Ontario Thompson, two of their draft picks. Everybody will be ready for camp, guys, when it comes time. I don't think this is going to be an issue. We say it every year. We've gotten past that point where most rookies, like 98% of them, have an issue contractually where they're holding out or trying to figure it out. These things are slotted. It's just about when and what's guaranteed. And so congratulations to those guys, but I don't think that'll be an issue as we head into mandatory minicamp and all the things that these guys will be expected to be at. More on the Falcons coming up. But we're talking with Mike Griffith, Mike, last segment, talking about the dogs, but more importantly, the CFP, 24 teams. And now it seems like all these commissioners are online to say, hey, we're in. Greg Sankey, where are you at? And Sankey's saying 16 teams.
Yep, and Ross Dellinger reporting that ESPN officials have been pretty clear. I've got a pretty good hunch, or pretty clear, that they want the playoff to remain at 12. And if it does expand, not to go beyond 16 teams. What does that tell you? TV people know good television. 24 teams is going to be a lot of crappy games in the first round. Half, you'll have eight teams on a bye. You know, so you're not going to see those teams.
So, the top eight.
Right, top eight. So, I mean, again, ESPN says 12 sounds good. 16 tops. That's it. 24 seems a bit, I do agree, it's too much. If you go to 16, you know, we talked about this. You got Notre Dame hosting Georgia Tech, you know, based on last year's, if it went by the model for 16.
Yeah, Ivan Johnson, not that Ivan Johnson.
The truck guy?
He follows
us. There was the Iron Man. He was the guy who used to ride the Baja that 1000. Barry, back to you.
And he said the main reason, guys, I want to expand to the 16 team is to eliminate the bye. He says 3 weeks off was a disadvantage. Mm. I kind of agree with him on this. And think about Georgia for a second. He says, proven by the top seeds being 1-7 under this format. Guys, that bye week, you get 3 weeks. It's a long time to not play football when you go from potentially a conference championship to wait, and then you're playing, what, January, the second week or the first week of January?
The layover, certainly, you could argue, didn't help Georgia. You know, both against Notre Dame 2 years ago and then last year against Ole Miss.
Yeah.
You know?
So he says, plus the fan bases miss out on the home playoff game. Can you imagine a playoff game here in Athens? And he's talking about the dogs. So, look, there's something to that. That Bible, this is why they have to move the schedule. Clark Lee, Vandy's coach, just came on and talked about it. We got to finish our college schedule by the second week in January. We cannot be getting into MLK Day and beyond, Mike. And now all of a sudden, you're conflicting with conference championship games in the NFL, or for that matter, the division round, potentially. I know they're going to do it on a Monday night when apparently nothing else is going on. But the fact is, I'm with them on this as far as coaches wanting to end the season earlier. And now we have that transfer portal window, Mike. You don't have to worry about that as much with the two windows that you had. I just think it'll make things easier. But that I want to see fixed. But this number, I have no idea where it's going to end.
And that's why the other idea, it's not the big thing about this conversation, but starting the season in week zero. You know, so by the time you get to Labor Day, that's week two. And but there would be, you know, again, was week zero, it's always kind of weird. San Jose would play Nevada. You know, there'd be like a couple of, you know, one SEC game, you know, but they're playing like a dog of crap opponent. So it would be week one. It would just move it up to the week before Labor Day, potentially, to your point. So you got, you know, the space to get everything in.
We will see how this all shakes out. What's shaking out around the NFL, guys, is the schedule drop. And everybody's officially waiting for all their schedules to drop, meaning their team, right? And also, you want to see what other teams in the division are going to look like. Look, we think we have a hard schedule, right? Statistically.
We do have a hard schedule.
Well, I think so. But statistically, we're in the bottom third, according to folks who do the schedules in the NFL, based on opponents, you know, winning percentages. All that, it gets thrown out of the window to me. But I'll say this, Mike. I do want to see what the Saints have and how that compares to what Carolina's looks like and then Tampa. And we talk about it. Like going overseas and coming back over, I thought it was a mistake last year not having that bye week. Now, did that play out in us not making the playoffs? No. That it was execution and coaching mistakes, etc. But I do think when you make that trip, and if you've ever been overseas, you guys know it. I get it. You're on a chartered flight. It doesn't matter. You're still tired.
Yeah, it still changes your routine, and that's why I think it's certainly, well, again, Stefanski and the adults in the room may say, let's just take that bye week, you know, after that trip to Europe. You mentioned it. Usual suspects in the NFC South, and then the Bears playoffs, Detroit Lions cusp of playoffs, Ravens cusp of playoffs, Bengals still really good players, San Francisco playoffs, Kansas City coming back from their first year not in the playoffs in like, what, 12 years. So that's our home schedule. Away at Lambeau, at Minnesota. We just talked about the Steelers. The leak that came out is the Steelers, you said, would be week one, and the Commanders, we think, is the last week of the season?
The Commanders would be week, timeout, I'll tell you, 15.
Okay,
at
so next,
Washington.
So next, the third to last week of the season.
Yeah, because you got 16, 17, 18 still. But those are there are about five games that we have a handle on, quote unquote, again, unofficial from the Falcons. But, you know, you feel pretty good based on what people have been putting clues together about. And we're now waiting to just see what week three and four and five look like. And what's week six and seven leading into that Tampa Bay game. And again, guys, if it is at Carolina week two, early division game.
Right.
It matters.
Right. Got to take care of business. And think about how completely lost. That was the game where we go, no, 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 we figured it out. Zach Robinson is going to come down to the sideline. You know, again, you know what? I should just stop myself right now. There's no point in complaining about a regime that's no longer in charge.
No, it's not.
But you can point out some of the things, and we can compare and contrast how Stefanski and his regime will operate compared to how Coach Ra and his did. But the idea that you had the whole preseason, you just screwed around, and you got nothing to see from Penix. You know, nothing. And then by the time week three, then you realize, maybe it's a good idea if the coordinator comes down. You think? And then, you know, then shortly thereafter, Ike Hilliard gets fired, and you realize we got a dysfunctional offensive group.
It really was. And I'm just hoping, Mike, that's not the case. I don't feel like it will be. Look, I think every time you get a new set of eyes, look, and is the fact that we didn't go to the playoffs was the end result. That's the bottom line. But the defense got better under Ra. There are things people come in and you go, can you help fix what's wrong? And I think Kevin Stefanski is going to help fix what's wrong on the offense. Now you got the defense moving in the right direction. Can you build on that? But yeah, getting those fresh set of eyes, again, you come in and you evaluate, hey, what's really working here? And I don't think anybody around the NFL looks at the Falcons' offense. Matter of fact, I know this. And goes, woo, what a juggernaut. Well, they don't.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. All those things we used to talk about, you know, if Pitts is dialed in, you got Bijan. You know, certainly you've got another Robinson behind Bijan, who's a steady bag of physical pounding running back as a compliment to Bijan. You know, we believe in Drake May. Now, the other guys, these are all new pieces. I'm excited about Zachariah Branch. I really am. Don't know what Jahan Dotson's going to be, you know. But if you want to just say, all right, Tua wins the job, Tua's put up numbers before he lost his way in Miami that would be really good by any comparison to Matt Ryan's last few couple of years.
Yeah.
And obviously those years we were out in the wilderness with Mariota and Desmond Ridder. So if the ball's coming out fast and we're dialing up all sorts of boom, boom, boom plays that you saw in Cleveland, and that's kind of Stefanski's calling card, you could argue, and again, I'm not trying to sell hope here because we don't believe in hope, we believe in facts. But that's hypothetically, that's what you're shooting for. And then you're good enough to win nine games or nine or 10 wins the division.
No doubt.
Because the defense was second best in sacks. We don't know the particulars on James Pierce Jr.'s return, but we think he's not going to miss the whole season, knock wood.
404-726-0929. You guys can hit us up. Mike, we need to get an update here on the golf because we're going to keep you updated not only today but through tomorrow as well. The PGA Championship Leaderboard Update brought to you by Trajan Wealth, your trusted local fiduciary advisors, and by Bobby Jones Golf Course here in Atlanta. Golf open to everyone. We just need to get the top three, but if you're curious, Rory struggled off the tee today.
Right.
But what's the leaderboard look like?
Live from Aronimink outside Philadelphia. Aronimink. Say it with me, Day-Day. Aronimink. All right, man. Justin Thomas at 3-under.
Okay, Justin.
How about them apples? And he is, by my glasses, looks like he's on 8, so about to make the turn. Martin Keimer is shooting a 3-under. He's on the back 9. And then you want, can I interest you in some Jaeger and some pot?
Yes, please.
Yeah, a guy named maybe it's Potgieter. Either way, he's from South Africa. And then a guy named Jaeger. They're both at 3-under. These are all guys tied for the lead. Minwoo Lee at 3-under. He shot a 67. And other guys I'm not familiar with shot a 3-under. Max Homa at 3-under. So there's some names that are moving up. But again, a lot of guys that are under par that you would recognize. But as far as the leaderboard, Justin Thomas, who has been kind of off the leaderboard of the majors, at least trying to a real considered chance to win another championship. How about that?
No, it's big.
If you can dial this up.
It's big, man. Rory was even cussing off the tee today, Mike.
Oh.
Part of the story, 74. And the reason why it's a big deal is because, again, Rory's coming off of that Masters win, and everybody's going, all right, 5-time major winner, 2-time defending Masters champion. And he struggles, missing 9 of the 14 fairways, including 6 of 7 on his second 9 holes. And so that was part of the story today. But, you know, again, it's early. But I said to Mike, this golf course, I saw the overlay of it, and I said, man, it looks easy.
No.
It's the greens and how they're tiered.
Right.
So when you hit your approach shot, you're either putting up or down. And, Mike, some of these, you can't control the speed of these putts.
Right. It does seem to be, you know, sometimes a good shot is not being rewarded.
Yes.
Into the green. We mentioned Thomas is at 3-under, tied for the lead. Some other names you recognize, Xander Schauffele. He's shot a 2-under today. That's pretty cool. Jason Day. He's a 1-under for the day. Brooks Koepka also at 1-under. And Patrick Reed, he's making the turn at 1-under. Same for Colin Morikawa, who's got a couple majors under his belt. And Cam Young. Remember the guy with the mullet and the Joe Dirt mustache?
Yes.
He went over to live from Australia. He's also at 1-under. Cam's, so some of the names you recognize.
Cam's playing all right then, huh?
Yep.
You said Jaeger is he's tied for the lead still?
That's correct.
Okay.
Yes.
Lee Wright hits us up and says, Steven Jaeger is tied for the lead, fellas. He played collegiate golf at my alma mater, Tennessee Chattanooga.
Yeah, he's from Germany originally. So there you go.
He says,
Jaeger bomb!
Represent the sea.
All right.
Lee, thanks for that, man.
So is that what we're going to hear on Sunday if this guy's still in contention? Somebody be overserved on Mick Ultras?
Somebody.
Jaeger bomb!
Somebody. Yeah, I'm surprised it hadn't already got out there.
You can't do that at Augusta. You might be able to get away with that at the PGA.
What do we got coming up in Guy Talk, Mike?
Hey, man. We talked about this the other day, slump busting, before Austin Riley got rolling. A tradition. Sometimes in other sports like hockey, it means go hook up with, well, a couple of twos at the bar, and maybe you get some mojo. A baseball player was mired in a horrible slump. He went for a unique slump buster, but did it work? Also coming up, are we going to go retro? Like retro Mutombo for the new Hawks unis? That seems to be the plan. Stay tuned. It's coming up in Guy Talk right here on Dukes and Bell. Hey, man, Dukes and Bell, man. A Falcon Report coming your way at 5 o'clock. And again, Carl, thanks so much for the help, Day-Day, putting my new Twitter handle at Dukes and Bell 929. I've got a new Twitter handle. It's no longer Mike Bell ATL because Mike Bell ATL has become something called Marv's Vivin and is posting things about politicians in China. And I don't know. It said it's based in Austin. Could be anywhere. Apparently, I'm not the only guy who's had his identity on social media stolen. Our own Joe Patrick apparently went through the process.
Mm.
Now, the thing I got from my interactions with Twitter is it's all AI. There's no people.
Okay.
And so you got to, you know, basically put your claim in there, explain what happened. And mine was pretty simple. It said, look, you know, somebody stole my stuff. Here's my old account. I can't access any of it. And they're like, well, we don't recognize. We don't see. Well, that's why I don't have it. It ceases to exist. I go, but if you go back and look at, you know, just other than the 10 things that were posted by this entity.
15 now.
Okay. political stuff. And again, somebody said to me earlier, did you tick somebody off? I tick off a lot of people on social media. Carl and I have opinions. And, you know, sometimes, you know, it's I lean left on some things. I lean right on other things. It's called being an American, you know. So I don't know if that motivated somebody to hack me. I don't know. Couldn't tell you. All I know is I lost 41,000 followers, and, you know, that sucks because you build that up and you want to keep it. So anyway, a lot of guys say they went through it. Hurting Falcons fan. He reaches out to Elon Musk directly, Carl. Please help out this Atlanta icon. This is crazy.
Well,
thank you, sir.
It is from the standpoint of, and here's the thing, because all these folks they either are or have computer geniuses around them.
Right.
But the reality for people, and this is the lesson maybe that you should take from this, whether Mike gets his account recovered or not, there are people just sitting around scheming all damn day
right. On
these computers and trying to get you to make a mistake. And that's the unfortunate part about the internet, Mike. I mean, like, again, even if you are like, oh, wow, and you're interested and something pops up, Mike Conti and I, we were having this conversation. There's just so much phishing stuff that's out there.
Right.
Even our work emails at times have been compromised. So it's just where we're at. And I would just tell people, hey, be careful, man. Right. I hate seeing those stories, Mike, about like an older couple, you know, who got approached on the internet and right. They clicked on and all of a sudden now they've lost thousands of dollars. And it's like, dude, they're on a set income. It's just crappy. But to your point, that person could be in Australia somewhere.
Right. I mean, it's funny. You watch those like Mission Impossible movies or any of these movies where we're tracing the track, you know, the Bourne movie. Wait a minute. He's in Copenhagen. No, he's not. He's in Los Angeles. You know, yeah, it's like, well, that's how they shoot this stuff around. It really is like the movies. Joe Patrick says that he had his stuff hacked. And it took him 6 weeks. I never heard any response until suddenly I had a password reset in my mailbox. Anyway, so there you go. Michelle, who's a big follower of ours, Michelle King-Hart, we see her at the Falcons games all the time, went through the same thing, and it's very aggravating. So, yeah, appreciate your help. But if you guys want to get back on the Mike Bell tip, it is now ATL Bell 929. That's ATL Bell 929. So just there you go. Right now, it's like a cozy little private club of 180 people, Carl, so we can have some fun. No, but I tell you what, last night, I'm not very tech savvy, and just basic instructions on websites, I'm like, damn it! You know, and you know, Becky's like, what's wrong? So she came upstairs, I'll fix this. She's like, so 5 minutes later, damn it! So it's like very aggravating, is because you can't get the information and explain, hey, look, just scan through this, you'll see it's me. Photos of me at a Falcons game. Photos of me at the Grand Prix in Miami, you know.
But the account information now is not tied.
Right. But the funny thing is they couldn't unpin it because the pin story is still about Atlanta and being like an hour
the
from
The photos
Atlanta.
Are still technically there, though, right?
Right. All my stuff's up there. Yeah. As you scan through it. Or it's all your fault. Thanks for the link.
Hey, blame Michael Penix, man.
I don't believe that, bro.
Blame Michael Penix.
Did you click on that link?
I did. It was fine. It was
as far as you know.
This is so weird.
As far as you know.
Yeah, if my stuff disappears, y'all can have it.
Well, no. The thing is, Carl has left because, you know, every 6 months, like, that's it. I'm quitting Twitter. I'm sick and tired of the negativity and the nitwits. Carl's like, you're not going to quit. So now this will be the permanent vacation. No, we'll make it a little. You know what? This will be a boutique Twitter. Just about 500,000 people.
Yeah,
Carl.
Right. I don't believe it.
What's up, Ego?
All the pictures of your dogs, just Ike and Ellie.
Right.
And just under the photos, at Mars Vivian.
Yeah.
Like, no, those are Mars's dogs.
Those are Mars's dogs. Your dogs belong to me.
Mars Vivian has kidnapped my animals, my imagery.
That's crazy.
Ike's being prostituted, Carl, somewhere in Southeast Asia on social media.
Well, why not delete all of the posts if you're going to hijack somebody? What's the point in keeping the old posts, especially pictures?
Just to tick the person who you stole off.
You just brought this up.
I told you guys, I was talking to Day Day and O about this. The idea that most people pay attention to what comes across their scroll. You want to say that you do.
Right.
Most don't. Half of Mike's followers haven't deleted following him because they're just, we get caught up in the scroll. And you go, oh, yeah, I still follow Mike. Until you start to really dive in and pay attention. And then the other thing for me is I just don't know what the outcome is for O and Day Day. If I'm going to, and I wouldn't do this, if I'm going to attempt to rob a bank, I'm robbing the bank to get money.
Right.
Why are you taking, what's the purpose? And that's what I just don't understand. What is the purpose? You're going to, and by the way, everybody doesn't have 40,000 or 80,000 or 2 million followers. There are some people who had 2,000 followers that had their accounts taken.
Right.
What are you doing with that?
Right. What's happening from there? So there you go. I talked to a buddy of mine, said, yeah, my password's probably around the dark web. They're easy to access, and that's why I've reset again. And that's the inconvenience. An hour and a half of resetting all your passwords for some, you know, we don't know if it's, you know, the prototypical dork hacker, you know, or you're just loser nerd. Who knows? I don't know. I don't
careful,
get it.
Careful.
Whatever, man. At this point, it doesn't matter.
They might be listening to us right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, this next account might be gone in minutes.
I give up. Anyway, so there it is. Check it out on Twitter. No longer Mike Bell. Now ATL Bell, 99. All right, man. Cal Raleigh. One of the big feel-good stories of baseball last year. The big Palooka, the catcher for the Seattle Mariners, was the runner-up for the MVP. And he's in a horrible slump, Carl. He was going 0-36 until two nights ago. One of his teammates, reliever Logan Gilbert, says, dude, you got to take a shower, man. What do you mean? No, take a shower right after the game, like in your uniform, spikes the whole thing.
Clean it off.
It's a tried and true baseball thing. You got to wash off the bad juju or the mojo. So Cal Raleigh takes the advice. He goes into the showers in his full uniform, and next thing you know, he comes up and he has two hits, and the Seattle Mariners win 10-2.
It worked!
Until it didn't. Until what? The next game, he leaves with an oblique strain.
Oh.
Cal Raleigh's on the DL for the first time in his entire Major League career.
Brutal.
So, yeah, it's just the guy, and he's a big stud, but he just can't seem to catch a break this year. It's like, remember that player for the Orioles had that miserable slump? Was it 2 years ago?
2 years.
So, in case you're wondering the history, Dave Concepcion was famous for it, the big red machine. He was mostly all glove, no stick, but he had a few big hits in 75 and 76. Concepcion would do that, too. Take a shower in his uniform, and apparently Kyle Farmer, former Brave, did it back in 22 to try to turn around his season.
I had heard about this. I never witnessed, obviously, or guys, you know, right. owning that they had done it, because these superstitions are just that, right? If you're going through it, you're not going to tell everybody exactly what you're doing, whether it's, you know, the head of a chicken or Mike taking a shower with all your entire uniform on. But it is interesting though to think in 2026. That a lot of these things still exist with all – it's just numbers. It's technology. Like, I'm not hitting. Why not? Well, guess what? It's this.
No, I mean, because we had some good friends that played – old friends for the Atlanta Flames and guys that played NHL hockey, and they talked about the slump buster. You're mired in a big slump. If you're a goal scorer, you can't score. Whatever's not working. You go to the bar, and you basically find the first – presuming you're single.
Yes.
The first girl that gives you the time of day, regardless of her appearance. Not that that matters, folks. It's what's on the inside that matters. But either way, that was what a slump buster was known at back in the day. We even did a bit on it. Couldn't do that now. Anyway, moving on.
Up your butt, Joe Boo.
Joe Boo. Joe Boo.
You're telling me Jesus Christ couldn't hit a curveball? Easy now. Let's not have a holy war. By the way, I love Bull Durham. Again, Bull Durham is real about the minor leagues. I still love Major League.
I do too. It's one of my favorite sports movies of all time. It just is, man. The cliches. Charlie Sheen was great in that, by the way.
Years ago, when I was working for Fox Sports, I think I told you after Bobby Cox passed, I gave him a copy. I bought him a DVD because he said he never watches any movies and he had never seen it. We were joking around about some of the stuff, off the air with Dusty. When I was working with Dusty at Turner, the Turner Networks, and I, for all I know, Bobby has sat on a shelf. He never watched it, but anyway, he did get it from me to watch Major League. Up your butt, Joe Boo. The manager was always my fave.
Oh, he's the best. Look just the way that he went about his business. But there's so many funny parts, Mike. I mean, maybe we could do a show one day.
Don't give me this ole spit, Dorn.
When they go to the team plane, I'm crying. This is the team plane.
Corbin Burnson is wearing a blindfold while he's sleeping. Corbin Burnson played the great aloof star in third base. Don't give me this. When Lou pees on his contract, I mean, it's gold, man. Gold. Anyway, Major League, look for it. All right, the Hawks, there's a chance. Have you guys, Day-Day and Oren, have you seen some of these social media stories? Potentially, and we'll try to get it out of Steve Kuhn, and he's going to take a break on Friday, but he'll be back soon from the Hawks CEO. Are the Hawks going to revisit the mid to late 90s Hawks uniforms with the Hawk looking right at you with the spread wings that Dikembe Mutombo and Steve Smith used to rock?
Yeah, did you like those, first and foremost?
Not really.
Okay.
I always thought Pac-Man, the Hawk, the current Hawk logo we have, the one that Dominique had with the Pac-Man going up the side of the shorts.
The simple.
It's elegant and simple. I never really liked these, but apparently a lot of guys, it's over 25 years now, so people are vibing for that look.
Yeah, that's what, late 90s we're talking about?
That's what they were rocking when I got here.
But yeah, look, what's old is new again. And so it wouldn't surprise me. Mm. And if this has been in the works, remember, every time you do this, there's like a 3-year lag.
Right.
So they probably put this in a few years back. And it's maybe been approved, Mike, with all the licensing and all the stuff that goes on. But it wouldn't surprise me. I just, I don't know if everybody dug that uniform.
Day-Day, where do you fall on this? I'm lukewarm on that uniform. I don't vibe
it. Yeah, that was actually probably my least favorite Hawks uniform, if I'm completely honest.
Well, maybe it's just a trial weather balloon type deal and they're trying to gauge the response. Where do you fall on this, Big O?
To your point, Mike, I think it was the word mark they trademarked or something like that. The word, mm-hmm. like the patterns and whatnot. But I think they're still going to do the ones they have right now, sort of that collegiate, like black and white, those jerseys too. And then they already announced earlier this year that they're going to bring back as their city edition jersey next year. They're going to have the MLK jersey back next year.
They need to. I mean, I understand there's contractual obligations and Nike's got to come out with new stuff. The peach kits were cool, but to me, the MLK should be the only other uniform they wear at home.
I agree.
And everybody loves it.
Once they came out with that, I was like, right. That's it right there. Just keep it right there.
Still got mine from back in the day. Hey, real quick, we were just talking about this off the air. I'll make it brief because we stay in our lane, but this thing is water cooler conversation, so we'll put it in guy talk. There's been so many Dateline NBC type shows and movies and, you know, you
Docs.
Name them. Dramadrox about this or Dr. Dramas. The story about Murdaugh, this Alex Murdaugh getting acquitted, overturned the conviction because the county clerk, if you guys didn't follow this guy that murdered his wife and kid, and you had a blabby county clerk who basically influenced the jurors by going, I can't believe a word he says. I don't know if she sounds like that. I'll just presume she did. She sounds like Flo from Alice's Diner. But anyway, that's apparently what qualified now. They said the prosecutors say they can get all the way to the Supreme Court. Murdaugh will remain in prison, by the way, for his financial crimes. But he was convicted of the murders of the son and the wife. And all my friends who live in the low country or anywhere in South Carolina think this guy did it. Dead to rights.
Yeah. I watched probably two docs on this. Fascinated by it. Very influential family. If you don't know the story, son and wife murdered on their property. And a lot of the evidence seemed like it tied to him. But right. I'll say this, Mike. Look, they're still going to have another trial for this. And right. and everybody thought when they heard this news that he was getting out of jail. He's not.
No, he's still in the pen.
He's
still in the hooscow.
So, and that has to do with the other crimes that he committed, which, again, talk about, you know, the financial influence and the money stealing and all of that. What's up? What do you want to ask?
No murder weapon. It was a 3-hour deliberation before they found him guilty.
But it was the stuff before too, like the family and the boat and the boat trip that they had where the kids, they couldn't find him in the, like, all that stuff was just nuts. The entire family history of that family is just insane.
And he just strikes me when you watch enough of these, you know, all my wife watches is Lifetime. That's why I send it. You know, when she goes to the hardware store and asks for zip ties and lies, you guys check on me.
Yeah.
But no, it just, when you see this story, he just strikes you as that big ego sociopath that can justify anything in his mind, can rationalize it. And that's why I always felt from the jump the guy did it.
They had a lot of clout. I don't know if they still do, but obviously, Mike, this is a big deal. We'll see where it goes. But you're right. Everybody's talking about it because it was like, wait a minute, because everybody had an opinion on whether he was guilty or not.
Guilty. In the words of Nancy Grace, guilty! By the way, Day-Day, did I ever tell you about my appearance on Nancy Grace? Ever tell you that? For those who don't know, Carl's heard, I'll make it brief. Michael Vick was getting his roster bonus. He was still on the roster when he was facing the charges for the dogfighting, and he was suspended by the NFL. So I'm going to come on as a sports angle for Nancy Grace. I go down to CNN Center, and they go, and joining us now, Mike Bale from WQXI. Why did Michael Penix get his bonus? I said, well, Nancy, I go, on the current collective bargaining agreement and the contract with the players, if you're on the roster, you get your bonus on that said date. Nancy goes, well, that's just stupid. And that's it. And they never went back to me. Called my mom. Hey, I'm going to be on CNN tonight. Nancy Grace. Literally, Day-Day, one segment. Done. 10 seconds of me. Out. Done. So anyway, that's guilty. He's guilty. And that's guy talk.
Mike Vick. Yeah, look, a lot of people thought he shouldn't have gotten it. It was within the CBA. You're absolutely right. Hey, I want to mention this. The search for the next James Bond is underway. I'm very excited. Amazon MGM Studios announcing that we don't plan to comment on specific details during the casting process, but we are excited to share the news with 007 fans that as soon as we have the person, we will share that news. So I have no idea who it might be, but they are actually in the casting process for the new 007.
The Australian actor that plays the real estate kid on Euphoria. You know, he's the one who just lost a couple digits.
I haven't watched yet.
Okay, you recognize. He's also done a lot of British period pieces. He's on Wuthering Heights. I always thought Henry Cavill, who played Superman, would be perfect. You know, after they did the, remember The Man from U.N.C.L.E.?
Yes.
I thought take it retro. Go take it all the way back to the late 50s. You know, predate Sean Connery. Have fun with it.
That's crazy.
But we'll see.
Yeah, auditions have officially begun. All right, we got more to get to, guys, including the schedule drops tonight. We have you covered right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. What do we already know about who the Falcons are playing and where? Stay there. It's Dukes and Bell.